Well, Wednesday greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join the conversation today, if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, how do you deal with those times in life where you feel like you've disappointed the Lord, you feel like you failed Him, you feel like you've disappointed yourself? Well, that's our topic today, and we've all been there. We've all done something in life where we've made a promise, we've said we're going to do this, oh Lord, and then we fall flat on our faces, and just the weight of that disappointment and the disappointment that we believe the Lord has with us just crushes our souls. So what do we do with those times? How do we move through those times? Well, we have to look to the risen Christ. And we see an encounter exactly like that in the New Testament with the Apostle Peter. Jesus had told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times and before the rooster crows." And Peter said, "No, not me, Lord. I will never deny you." And yet that evening, he denied the Lord three times, just as Jesus said. And when he heard that rooster crow, it says in Matthew that he went out and wept bitterly. That disappointment just crushed him. Yeah. And he didn't know how the Lord was going to respond to him. And after he heard the news that Jesus had been raised from the dead, he didn't know how Christ would respond to him at that moment. But there was a surprise. And we see that surprise in John 21, where Jesus was on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. He had breakfast prepared for the disciples. And after the breakfast, he had a personal encounter with Peter. And he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these, more than this fishing, more than this old way of life?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he asked this question two more times. And each time Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know." And then Jesus' response, "Well, we'll feed my sheep." And in this moment, there's this incredible restoration. And Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail him through his flesh. Anybody that is saying, "No, oh, yes, Lord, I will never deny you," they're depending on their own abilities. Yeah. And Jesus knew he was going to fall. Jesus knew he was going to deny him three times, just as he said. You can't keep your promises to God. You're not the promise keeper. Jesus is. And so Jesus doesn't get disappointed. He understands. He's realistic about us. And so when we have those times, he comes and restores us. And guys, this to me is one of the most moving passages in the Word of God. We were in Israel last year, and we were at the place where this could have taken place. And I was reading through this passage, and it just overwhelmed me, just seeing the tenderness and compassion that Jesus had with the Apostle Peter. And it's the same way that he deals with us during those times when we feel like we've disappointed the Lord, when we've failed him, when we've given our best, when we've tried our hardest, and yet we've fallen flat on our face. And it's an experience that we all go through, isn't it, guys? And it's wonderful to know that we have a God that is not disappointed in us, but we have a God that will restore us and lift us up, and to say to us that you're still in the game. You're still a part of this family, and I'm going to use you to feed my sheep and to make a difference in this world. It's great news, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, we can get caught up in what we're feeling, and we think it's God. I mean, if you've ever been in that boat, you know, there you are with the feelings of shame and the feelings of guilt and disappointment in yourself, and then we project that on God, and we assume that, you know, that's what he is feeling and that's what he is thinking. And guys, in those moments, There is nothing better than truth. We cannot focus on feelings, and we certainly can't project our own selves, our own lives, our own emotions, our own thoughts onto God. We have to go back and say, wait, now what did the cross accomplish? Wasn't all of my guiltiness and all of my sin put on that cross? And wasn't all of the disgust that God had at sin, wasn't that put on the cross? And wasn't all the disappointment with me, wasn't that put on the cross? And when we recognize that all of God's frustration, all of his disappointment, all of his anger, all of his disgust was put on Jesus at the time that Jesus became sin on our behalf, then we can see the way forward. We can see the truth that'll set us free in that situation. And the truth is that God's love is not a feeling. God's love is a fact. And God's approval of who we are is not a feeling. It is a fact. And it is based on what Jesus did on that cross and what he did through the resurrection in making us the righteousness of God. So if we really believe this, you know, we say we do, if we really believe that we are the righteousness of God, because that's who God has made us into, we're born of the Spirit, born of God, we're the righteousness of God, then here's a few questions to answer. Number one, how angry is God at his own righteousness? How frustrated is God with his own righteousness? How disgusted is God? How disappointed is God with his own righteousness? And of course, we know the answer to that. So, you know, God has made it plain, and yet our emotions fly all over the place based on our performance, based on our own expectations of ourselves, and we have to come back not to a feeling, but to the truth of the cross and the resurrection and the fact that we are righteous, and all the anger, all the disgust, all the disappointment was dealt with once for all, so that he is always pleased with who we are. That doesn't mean he's pleased with everything we do all the time, but he is pleased with who we are, because now we are his children, we're in the family, and we are really, really accepted no matter what.
Yes, indeed. And the great reality of this is that these aren't just facts that we're to remember and to recall, but God certainly puts those facts in our minds, but those are delivered to us through the compassion and the tenderness of the Holy Spirit himself. And so in those times, it's the Holy Spirit that brings those things to our memory. It's the Holy Spirit that reasons with us. I know as we read this passage in John 21, we all wish that Jesus would just come and appear before us and have this conversation with us. Well, that's not going to happen as far as the physical Jesus, but it does happen as far as his Spirit is concerned. And so he's the one that assures us that we belong, that we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And it's in that encounter that we're restored and the weight of that disappointment is lifted and we can be refreshed by the very love of Christ. It's really that personal and that intimate how the Holy Spirit deals with us.
Yeah. Wonderful news, guys, that we share every day here at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. If you have a question, if you'd like to join the conversation, call right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, as you make your April gift to support the Basic Gospel message, we're going to send you our Simply Grace gift package. That's hard for me to say because I always say simple gospel, simply grace. So a new phrase for me to get wrap my tongue around. Anyway, it contains three excellent resources to truly drive home the fact of the redemption and new life available to everyone in Christ Jesus. It includes Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and two CD messages. First, Drive the Stake, and second, Eternal Life. Now, these resources answer long-held questions about what we receive in Christ Jesus. Is it possible to outsin the grace of God? Am I free from the clutches of the law? Can I be assured that my new life in Jesus is real and permanent? It's all part of the Simply Grace gift package. Just request it when you make your gift this month, month of April. Click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll partner with us here at Basic Gospel because this is really good news, friends. Well, we had a wonderful call from a new listener, a relatively new friend in South Carolina, and I just want to start this segment of the program listening to this call from Peggy.
Hey, Bob, this is Peggy, and I just want to thank the Lord, you know, just for saving my soul. And I want to thank him for y'all because y'all are just such a blessing, you know. And listen to the message about Mary, that, you know, Jesus calling her by name, by Mary. You know, that just blesses my heart because, you know what, he does know us all by name, and he does call us. And I'm just so thankful that we have a Lord out there that loves us so much that it's a man named Jesus that loves us, that died for us, and that he rose again that third glorious day. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful that we're so loved. Thank you. Thank you for both of you being on 88.5. It's just a blessing just to get out here. I rush to my car every day at 4:30 just to listen to y'all, you know, because there's so many people out there that need to hear, you know. And I was so lost. And in March the 15th, 1990, I got down on my hands and knees, and asked the Lord to save me. And I know he did, and the devil didn't have me no more. I was just so blinded. You know, I had head knowledge for so many years. And after I got saved, the old devil didn't have me no more. But y'all were just a blessing, and I thank you so much. And I just thank the Lord. I just thank him, praise him every day for his wonderful grace and mercy that he bestowed upon me that I didn't even deserve. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's just a real encouragement.
Boy, that is an encouragement. And Peggy, thank you so much for making that call. And, you know, folks, you know, we as a ministry and here in this studio and our team, you know, you get to minister us by making comments like
Absolutely.
That. And we need to be encouraged. And so thank you so much, Peggy, for doing that. Yeah. And I just love her. And just the personal nature. So we talked about the fact of the risen Christ encountering Mary Magdalene and calling her by name. And there was something about that changed her, that transformed her at that very moment. And that's what God does with each and every one of us. He calls us by name. Yeah. And boy, is that ever good news. Mm-hmm. So, Peggy, thank you so much for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We do indeed. Well, again, open lines 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello. Bob, there's always been something when the risen Christ appeared to the disciples in the upper room and said, peace to you. And it says that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. You know, and this was before Pentecost. Is there a chance? What do you think? Could that have been the person of the Holy Spirit that they received in full measure then, or did they have to receive that in Pentecost? I just want to hear your comment, one of y'all's comments on that.
Yeah, well, guys, you know, that's something that we get now and then because people do talk about a second blessing at some point. You know, people say, oh, it's great that you're a Christian. Now you need a second blessing. You see that the disciples were already disciples, but then they were breathed on, but then there was Pentecost. So you could see how there could be confusion surrounding this issue. But the bottom line is this, is that, you know, Jesus enabled them to carry out a mission for a limited amount of time apart from Pentecost. I mean, he breathed on them, but that was not the same as having the Holy Spirit live in them and them being sealed in him. So he told them to wait for power from on high. That would be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So before that day, certainly the Holy Spirit was active. He was active with them, walking along with them through life. There were miracles performed. We know that from the four gospel accounts. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has always been active ever since creation as he was over the surface of the waters. So the Holy Spirit was active since the very beginning of what we call the universe and then some. But what we see in Pentecost is special. It was the culmination of everything that was planned for the children of God. So what does it mean? It means that today, when we are born again, because we live on this side of the cross, because we live on this side of the resurrection, and because that event, Pentecost, was the first among many events, we too get to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed until the day of redemption. And that Christ in you experience is greater than what they had before. What they had before was Jesus Christ along with them. They had Jesus Christ walking with them, tutoring them, discipling them. Then they had the Holy Spirit breathed on them. Nevertheless, what we have now because of Pentecost is we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And that Christ in you, you in Christ relationship is exactly what Jesus prophesied about when he talked of the vine and the branches, I and you and me. So, Clay, you know, we have something better than the disciples had. That's hard for people to understand. It's hard for people to wrap their minds around. I mean, they got to walk with Jesus and touch Jesus and hug Jesus. How could it be that we have something better? Well, it is a spiritual union with Christ, an indwelling and being sealed with the Spirit. And indeed, that is a greater experience, one that started for them not at the breathing of the Holy Spirit, but instead at Pentecost. That's where it all got started, with the indwelling Christ.
Yeah. And one note.
That's very good.
And one note on this, man, Clay.
I'll forget that. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, Clay. I was just going to add one note. In John chapter 7, Jesus is talking about, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And John goes on to say, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So that glorification of Jesus came in the ascension. So the Spirit was given following his ascension into heaven, and that's what Pentecost was all about. So the breathing on them was not the giving of the Holy Spirit. That came that wonderful day in Jerusalem, that day when God poured out his Spirit on mankind.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thanks, Clay, for your call. We're glad to hear from you. We're always glad to hear from any of our listeners. And if you have a question, can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can still call that same number, 844-322-2742, or you can drop your question to Bob at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, from Modesto, California, a question from Cheryl. Please talk about once saved, always saved. What if we sinned throughout a day and then, before we died, had not had the chance to ask for forgiveness?
Well, guys, you know, this is so important to figure out. We have to nail down the truth concerning this. Otherwise, we're going to wake up every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, wondering if we're still saved because of yesterday's sins, because of this morning's sins. If we don't watch it, so many people's theology ends up being Jesus Christ died for all of your sins unless you sin. Jesus Christ, he right. took away all your sins unless you sin. He removed your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers your sins no more unless you commit one. Then the whole deal is off, and if you commit too many, well, you're out. So we have this mixed up theology if we're not careful. And Cheryl, I'm so glad you brought this question to the broadcast today, because, you know, we need to be proclaiming and celebrating and resting in what is called the finished work of Jesus Christ. And what that means is our past sins, our present sins, our future sins, my goodness, they were all in the future when Christ died. And he didn't say, I'll forgive these, but not these. And I'll forgive the little ones, but not the big ones. I'll forgive the, you know, the random ones, but not the serious ones, the frequent ones I don't know about. No, he didn't run down our timeline of sins and categorize them and label them and make decisions on which ones to forgive. Instead, the Bible says, by one offering, he has made us perfect forever. That doesn't mean perfectly behaved, but it means perfectly forgiven forever and perfectly cleansed forever. So let's just run through the logic of this. Look, if there were anything that could cause you to lose your salvation, that thing would be called a sin. But what did Jesus do with your sins? He died for them. He took them away. He removed them. He remembers them no more. So when he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and that nobody can ruin this, nobody can snatch you out of my hand, and in fact, concerning your inheritance, Peter says it's undefiled. It'll never fade away. It'll never die. It is held in heaven, not on earth where we can mess with it, but in heaven. Well, that means we are as safe and as secure as Jesus is. In fact, the Apostle John says that. He says, as Jesus is, so also are we in this world. So we don't need to fear the final judgment. We don't need to fear punishment. We don't need to fear loss of salvation. Nothing separates us from the love of God, because the only thing that could separate us would be called sins. And Jesus took them all away. He really did forgive us. He really did cleanse us once for all. He really does refuse to take into account any wrong suffered. So, guys, you know, when we hear that we're supposed to run out and forgive 70 times 7, we need to remember that God's not a hypocrite. He's the first one to ever forgive in that way. He forgave us once for all, unconditionally, off the charts. That is some amazing grace.
Why do we fuss and fight and argue about that one simple truth? Why do we refuse to believe that God said, I'm going to remember your sins no more? I mean, that's his will. That's what he's said. And we can argue about that all we want. We can discuss the consequences and what we need to do or not need to do. But God's made a declaration, hasn't he? And our arguing isn't going to change what he said. Yeah. He remembers our sins no more. And I just don't get why we refuse to rest in that and to be so grateful that we're forgiven people. But we get this question all the time, and it's an honor and a privilege to go back over it time and time again, because in my heart and mind, it just makes my heart swell bigger with gratitude for what Christ has accomplished. It is finished. It is over. It is done. He condemned sin. He judged it. He punished it once and for all in Christ. Everything that needed to be done for sin, against sin, punishing sin, has already been done to the fullest extent. I mean, he didn't go light on it at all. I mean, he just doled out all of the punishment, and none is left for us. And that is such good news. Andrew, as you were talking, man, I was just rejoicing. You just nailed it, brother. Thank you.
Yes, you did.
For laying it out there in such a clear and wonderful way. And I know it's your heart, and I know it's Richard's heart, and I know it's Bob Davis's heart, and everyone's heart here on staff, that if there's one thing that we could communicate so clearly that people would just rejoice in and just overflow with gratitude, is this fact that their sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, and that God remembers them no more. If somebody will grab hold of that, rest in that finished work, the doorway of grace will just fly open in just this magnificent way, and your relationship with Christ will never, ever, ever be the same.
Cheryl, we're glad that you posed that question. You'll never hear a clearer explanation, and I hope that you'll listen over and over to this response to that excellent question. Three excellent resources, all contained in the Simply Grace gift package. They'll be yours as you make your April gift to Basic Gospel. They are the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher, and two CD messages as well, Drive the Stake and Eternal Life, resources that can deepen your understanding of the grace we've received and the love and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Request your Simply Grace gift package when you click Donate at BasicGospel.net, or when you donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that number is 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Just click that big prominent donate link there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.